Welcome to Your Call. I'm Angie Coiro. Rose Aguilar is on vacation today. With a click of a button, you can order a meal or a package to be conveniently delivered to your front door, sometimes within the hour. That was already true before COVID. With almost everyone staying behind closed doors during the pandemic, delivery rates skyrocketed. Food delivery companies like DoorDash, Uber, Postmates, well, they've raked it in. More than $150 billion in profits. Digital Commerce 360 estimates the pandemic contributed an extra $218 billion. That's an extra $218 billion to e-commerce's bottom line over the last 2 years. Now, how much of that bonanza is making its way to the countless delivery drivers? What is life like handling the increasing load and tighter deadlines? Well, here's a hint. A lot of them have had enough. Delivery workers countrywide are demanding better pay, healthcare benefits, the right to unionize, and more. Many studies say over half delivery drivers are immigrants. Most are people of color. Many of them sleep in the same cars they use for deliveries, finding a space in empty parking lots. They're subject to wage theft, and the pay is not exactly extravagant to begin with. Example, food delivery drivers in California make just over $22,000 per year. On today's Your Call, we're talking with a delivery driver about how to support those organizing for better working conditions. How do drivers hope to see the industry change? And about the buyers, how can consumers order ethically? Joining me to discuss the topic, our guests, Deshwan Nye, a delivery driver in New York, and Eve Zelikson, a research analyst. Deshwan is co-chair of Justice for App Workers, a national coalition movement of more than 130,000 rideshare drivers and delivery workers from the East Coast to the Midwest, united in their demands to transform the industry. They're fighting for living wages, safe working conditions, even bathroom access, and the right to unionize. We're discussing all of that today. Eve Zelikson is a research analyst with the Social Instabilities in Labor Futures team at Data and Society. That's a nonprofit research organization studying social implications of data-centric technologies and automation. Eve co-authored a recent report we're discussing today that's called At the Digital Doorstep, How Customers Use Doorbell Cameras to Manage Delivery Workers. Sounds ominous. Deshwan, there's a UC Santa Cruz study from 2020. It's about rideshare and delivery workers in San Francisco, and it shows that at least 78% of the workforce are people of color, 56% are immigrants, and they come from dozens of different countries. Can you tell us more about the communities who make up the app worker and delivery driver population?
Oh, hi, guys, everyone. How are you guys today? So my name is Deshwan Nye, and I am the president of the International Alliance of Delivery Workers, who we have 1,200 Chinese delivery driver and bikers. Also, I am the co-chair of the Justice for App Workers. We have more than 130,000 members. So we support the Chinese delivery worker and bikers in Queens, Flushing, for who we working for the DoorDash, Uber Eats, and a few Chinese app like the Taobao, Hungry Panda, and Fanzuan. So that's all I wanted to introduce myself.
Thank you for that. And I apologize for mangling your name. I will try to do better through the rest of the hour. I actually thought about you this morning as I was driving in because I was hearing a story about a UPS driver in Dayton, Ohio, who stopped his truck and started hurling the packages off to the ground. And most of the story reportage focused on the people who picked up those packages and delivered them in place of the driver. And I can understand why the story is focused on that do-gooder element, but I found myself wondering about the mindset of the driver who either is, obviously there's a chance he's just dishonest, and I want to acknowledge that, but with all I've been learning about the situation, he just may have been so frustrated, he said, no more of this. And I wanted to get your take on that story.
Actually, why the delivery guys will so angry like that, you know, because mm-hmm. they got a very less pay and they hardly working, you know, instruction. Because right now, the traffic in New York City is crazy, is more crazy than before the pandemic. And they, everybody need driving on the road. Everybody have, you know, biking or, you know, they have to face to a lot of dangerous, for example, like the accidents, mm-hmm. like the violations. So they have to face to that, but they didn't make enough money. Their bill is going up. Like, you know, for example, like the gas, like the insurance, like the health insurance, that bill is going up, but their wages is not. They're still making the same money like before, like, you know, maybe around $10 or $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make, you know, working 10 or 12 hours a day. So that will make everybody angry, because where's the money? Who make the money? The company made the money. Mm-hmm. The drivers and the delivery bikers, they make the same money, but they need to pay higher bills. So that's the reason makes everybody angry like that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandable. The study, let me bring Eve in here. The study I just cited also shows that a fifth of the app workers don't have health insurance. 45% of those workers, including most of food delivery workers, couldn't handle an emergency expense just to the amount of $400 if that were to come up. And part of the problem here, Eve, is a lot of gig workers are in kind of a gray area. Are they freelancers? Are they contractors? Are they employees? I mean, this kind of goes to the heart of the issue, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, when I have a driver, he got a biker, he got an accident before. You know, when he called to the ambulance and they have a car come, and when he got the bill, you know how much he have to pay for that?
Hmm.
It's $2,300.
Mm. And all on him.
Yeah. He didn't have he doesn't have the insurance to pay for that. He have to pay for that himself. That will take out the whole month how the money he made,
mm-hmm.
the whole month. You know, some few families, they only have one person is working. The man is working. Maybe the woman is taking care of the babies at home. So mm-hmm. a family have one people working. They have to pay for 1 month's wages for that. He have nothing left. He have to also, you know, most of people is immigrant. They have no house here. Mm-hmm. They have to take care of the, you know, the food, the, you know, they have to pay for that. The monthly payment have to pay for the ambulance. Mm-hmm. So who can take that? Nobody can take that, you know.
Let me bring Eve Zelikson in here. Eve, some of this must sound very familiar to you.
Yeah. Most certainly. Thanks for having me on, Angie.
Sure.
So I think in the report and the research that I've been doing with Ai-Hun Nguyen, who also co-authored this report with me, so we focused on Amazon Flex drivers specifically. And I think similar to a lot of other delivery drivers these days, they're classified as independent contractors, which means they're not guaranteed the benefits or protections of traditional employers. So no paid time off, no health benefits, no overtime pay, along with other workplace protections. Mm-hmm. And I think, as Sichuan mentioned, this is like only intensified by the actual responsibilities and conditions of the job, which, you know, require drivers to routinely enter unfamiliar neighborhoods and work on people's private property. And in kind of the research that we conducted interviewing delivery drivers, we found that, you know, a lot of times they end up in these very kind of uncomfortable situations, especially for drivers of color,
mm-hmm.
Where they feel very othered and experience these kind of negative insider-outsider dynamics in neighborhoods where they stand out.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually take a look at, and I'll get opinions from both of you on this, you can actually see part of the problem when the drivers and their supporters try to do things differently. 2019, California passed AB 5. And that classified California workers for Uber, for Lyft, and for food delivery companies as employees. So those companies responded by spending $224 million, and they got Prop 22 passed. That was the next year. And now the drivers are classified as independent contractors. Just as you said, Eve, they're not subject to basic employment protections. That law, in turn, and this just goes on, that law was struck down by a judge in 2021, and this whole topic remains in court. But Eve, this is what you're talking about. when you have a small and up till now relatively powerless group trying to get laws passed, you're up against massive, massive industries that have very well-paid lobbyists and plenty of them. Let me get Eve on that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have not much else to say on that. It's astounding how much money that Amazon and other large retailers are able to pour into lobbyists to support these measures. And, you know, we heard from so many drivers just about like how difficult it is to put, again, like they're driving, flex drivers specifically, they're driving in their own vehicles. So they're using their own gas and they're putting miles on their own car. And that's all things that they have to pay for out of their own pocket. And they're paid, you know, $25 an hour. And a lot of times, I know maybe we'll talk about this in a minute, these platforms are also engaging in tip theft. And so they're additionally just taking more money from these already, you know, precarious workers. And Deshaun, I don't know if you can speak to this at all in your personal experiences.
Yeah, Deshaun, please go.
I do think that, you know, whatever the company pay for, whatever they are the employer or independent contractors, because they doesn't have people to protect them. You know, like us, we are the delivery workers. When we working, we have to, you know, taking care of us ourselves. So, you know, our JFAW, Justice for App Workers, we can have the union rights. We can organize all the drivers, rideshare drivers and delivery workers together. We can fight with that company, like, to get our money, the things belong to us. You know, we can be stronger, so we can have our voice to let everybody to hear about our voice, to let them know we are human. We are working. We are very hard working through your company. We want to our rights. So I think in New York City, our Justice for App Workers is a very important. Become a union is a very important point for all the drivers, because we can organize everybody together and show the government, show the company, show everybody we are strong. We can fight for ourselves.
I want to hear from you in just a minute, Deshaun, what you're hearing from the companies that are arguing with you, what cases they're making. Let me just let our listeners know that we're opening up the phone lines. If you have experience as a delivery driver or another app worker, if you're part of one of those families, we'd particularly like to hear from you. If you would like to ask questions of either of our guests, Deshaun Nguyen is a delivery driver in New York. Eve Zelikson is a research analyst at Data and Society. If you'd like to talk to either of them, here is the number, 866-768-8255. 866-768-8255. We'd like to have you on board for this conversation. So, Deshaun, let me go back to this, because I have worked in union organizing, and some of what you heard, or what I heard, our group heard from the organization that we were organizing with, they had all kinds of reasons that organizing would work against us. It would be a bad thing for us to be in the union because whatever. What kind of pushback are you hearing from the companies that your organizers are working with?
I want to say something you know, there happened this year and last year, there have cases happened. We have a delivery biker. Maybe a few people, they heard about that news. We have a delivery biker be gunshot killed this year in Forest Hill. Do you know he didn't get any pay from the company? Nothing paid for his family. Yeah, that's very sadly, right? And last year in Astoria, have a biker dead because of accident. Same thing. The company didn't pay anything for him.
So what? Yeah. Are the companies silent, or do they somehow try to justify this?
They are silent. They don't care about the life of the delivery workers.
Right.
They didn't say anything. They didn't even pay a cent for the biker. Wow. They didn't pay nothing for the biker, but they. what's the banker paid? They paid them life, the whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can I jump in here?
Eve, hold on just a second, because my producer's going to bash me over the head if I get the call-in number wrong one more time. The number to call in is 866-798-8255. The phone number is 866-798-8255. Eve, please go on.
Yeah, no, that made me think of another story that I think came out last month, where there was an Amazon Flex driver in Missouri, I believe, who was on the job and was mauled to death by dogs that were left unchained in someone's yard. And after this, Amazon sent out this message to all of the Flex drivers, something along the lines of, like, beware of our furry four-legged customers. Mm-hmm. Just, like, very insensitive. And wow. I think really hit home with a lot of the activists and organizers and delivery drivers about how little protections and little support they're getting from Amazon and other companies.
Mm-hmm. Eve, I want to hear from you, because I know your contacts are many. New York City last September passed bills that require third-party delivery apps, and those would include Uber Eats and Grubhub and DoorDash. The companies are now required to include a clause in the contracts with restaurants, meaning the restaurants have to make their bathroom facilities available for the delivery workers. It's such a basic decency to allow people to go to the bathroom while they're working. And I wonder, Eve, have you heard from any of your contacts how that's playing out?
That's a great question. You know, I haven't. I'm not quite up to date on that. But I do know that, you know, this is definitely an issue. I think there were a lot of stories coming out during the pandemic, especially of delivery drivers having to pee in bottles and other just like, yeah, people not letting them into restrooms. And that's something we heard as well throughout our interviews with delivery drivers, is just, you know, especially if you're delivering to a lot of people's private homes, it's their private property. They feel protective of it. They don't necessarily want to let someone in, but then it's like, where else are you going to go to the bathroom?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Deshwan, are you hearing about how that is working out? Are employees actually, or pardon me, are the restaurants actually letting the drivers in to use the restroom now that it's required?
You know, before the pandemic, I know the drivers, if you want to use the restroom, mm-hmm. in the restaurant, a few restaurants will require you to pay for that.
Pay for it?
Yeah. Even, you know, there have people, they trying to, you know, buy a can of the soda, mm-hmm. or just pay for $2 for use the bathroom.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm blown away by the indecency of that. I really am. So is that changing now with the rules changing? Are restaurants living up to the new law?
As I know, right now it's being better, because we had negotiations with the restaurants, but it changed. But it's not all of that changed. There still have few restaurants not allowed the delivery workers use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the owner doesn't know about that contract.
Ah, see, there's the problem. If they don't know about it, it might as well not be in effect.
Yeah.
Eve, I want to clarify one thing, because as we talk, it's common sense, I think, or at least it's understandable when people look at Amazon first. Amazon has so many drivers out on the road, so many. But we're talking in terms of the risks to drivers, in terms of what they assume, in terms of expenses, that sort of thing. That is fairly universal across all of the delivery apps. Is that accurate?
Sorry, say that last part again. You cut out a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Is it accurate to say that these problems, although we tend to focus on Amazon, that the problems we're discussing are fairly universal across all of the apps?
Yeah, I think specifically, especially when it comes to the app-based platform-mediated work, mm-hmm. there are these challenges that you see across, like, the board. So, for instance, a lot of them are, we have this term algorithmically managed, meaning they're controlled through a combination of data collection and automated decision-making, which mm-hmm. is, again, pretty common in the world of gig work. Uber, DoorDash, Instacart, they all use algorithmic management to assign and also evaluate drivers' work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as part of this, it creates a lot of problems for drivers, because it makes it very difficult to actually get in contact with a real human if you have any problems, not just in delivering a package, but also problems with pay and making sure that you get, you know, compensated for your time on the road and other things like that.
And that part you really can't justify. There are so many means of communication now. And if a customer wants to know if a pair of pants is going to fit, they can get somebody on chat immediately. So,
exactly.
You know, exactly. If Amazon at all wanted to talk to their drivers, they could manage to do that. I'm going to talk in just a moment about the injuries that drivers are facing and some of the other challenges and some of what's working in organizing as well. We want you to be part of this conversation. If you'd like to call in with your questions or comments, your experience, particularly as an app or a gig worker, we'd very much like to hear from you. Phone lines are open at 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We're talking about the plight of delivery drivers and app workers, gig workers. They're facing a lot of the same problems. Dr. Chuan Yi is a delivery driver in New York. He's co-chair of Justice for App Workers. Eve Zelikson is a research analyst with the Social Instabilities in Labor Futures team at Data and Society. I'm Angie Cuero in for Rose today. This is Your Call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Call. I'm Angie Cuero, and we're talking about the plights of the app drivers and the gig workers throughout the country as they strive to catch up with schedules that are increasingly difficult to maintain. There's also a consideration of being hurt on the job. In some cases, it's just a matter of how long they're sitting and driving. And others are matters of carrying or lifting. There are all kinds of ways that drivers can get injured. 1 in 5, according to the Strategic Organizing Center, 1 in 5 drivers making deliveries for Amazon suffered injuries last year. That's a 40% increase in 1 year. Dr. Chuan, you already mentioned to us some pretty horrific scenarios, including someone who died doing deliveries and was ignored by the company. What are the more commonplace injuries that you hear about? Dr. Chuan? Oh, we lost him. We lost him on there. But Eve, I know that you're knowledgeable about this as well. So let's talk about that injury rate.
Yeah, no, the injury rate is way higher than it should be. I think especially we hear from people in our reporting where with flex drivers, again, sorry, I keep going back to them just because that's what my research focus is. But
right.
The constant in and out of the cars, and also with delivery service partners who are delivering for a third-party contractor.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones you see in these kind of larger vans. Getting in and out of the car can be really tough on your knees. I'm sure there's been a lot of news stories about, you know, people ordering fridges.
Oh.
And like just like very, very heavy bags of dog food, et cetera. Things that just, you know, you can't carry to the doorstep. And I think that, you know, this also makes me think of something that came up a lot in the interviews that I've done, which is there's this tension. I don't think we've talked about yet how a lot of these independent contracting delivery drivers, because they're managed by an app, they have ratings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so these ratings really are super important because they can get them kicked off the app. So they lose their gig completely. Or, you know, if you're doing a good job, you can get these rewards. So there's also this tension that emerges with a lot of these delivery drivers because, okay, they have this huge fridge or something they're supposed to get to a doorstep, and maybe they mark it as undeliverable in the app, mm-hmm. which of course makes sense. But then sometimes their ratings will actually get pinged for things like that, which, you know, really isn't their fault and shouldn't happen. But they're, in the end, they're the ones who get reprimanded for things like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour that the delivery drivers are the face of the deliveries. Even if something happens after the delivery driver has let go of the package, they're the people who take the guff on that. San Francisco, we're so proud. San Francisco Bay Area was just named the worst area in the world for porch pirates. And the porch pirates are the ones who see the package delivered, they come up and get them and just walk away. And as far as the customer is concerned, often that package just wasn't delivered. You know, we also have cases where the driver says they handed the package to a person and, in fact, they left it down in the mailbox. Or we delivered it, yeah, but they delivered it to a different address. And You know, and again, I do want to allow that there are some drivers who are just as honest. But Eve, I'm thinking that some of this is accounted for by the incredible time pressure they're under.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that it's tough. It's interesting. I'm actually so intrigued by kind of the growing fear that, again, I think often picks up around the holidays, that package theft is on the rise, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we see this, especially because so many people have video doorbells these days. There's essentially this new type of criminal, the like porch pirate. And you're seeing all these videos of people nabbing packages. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I think that there are around 8 states that are actually planning on or have already passed laws increasing penalties for package theft from a misdemeanor to a felony.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I guess personally, I kind of believe that that's a pretty misguided effort just because of the delivery drivers. I think that it would likely pull this low wage workforce made up of, as we talked about, many people of color into the law enforcement dragnet. And I just think that that's dangerous and we need to think about that.
We have Doug Schwab back on the phone lines. And I do want to hear from you, too, about what drivers face in terms of being blamed for packages that don't arrive or being blamed when the package is delivered to the wrong place. And what do you hear from the workers about that?
For the wrong place there, because I'm sorry. For them, we'll contact with the, you know, the food. Hello?
Yep, we got you. You're here.
Hello?
Oh, I think we're having I'm so sorry. I think we're having trouble on that line. Eve, I'm going to stay with you until we can get that figured out. And you talked about the Ring doorbells. And there's a whole report that you co-wrote. And you talked about how this can work against the drivers. I suspect there are consumers and buyers who are listening to this saying, look, if a driver shows up and puts a package on the porch and goes back to their truck, what difference does it make if there's a Ring doorbell there? Who cares?
Of course. Yeah. So, yes, this is kind of where the doorbell camera comes into play. And I think that when talking about this, we first have to, for those of the listeners who don't have these cameras, just briefly talk about the actual features of it.
Okay.
So, right, it has the speaker. It has real-time notifications. It'll nudge you. You get like a notification saying, you know, there's movement at your doorstep. You have the ability to very easily download and share footage online, you know, with law enforcement, et cetera. So it really is a tool to monitor everyone at your doorstep. But the reality, of course, is, especially these days, who's most routinely at your doorstep? It's delivery drivers. And so I think that, you know, through our interviews for the report, it became very clear that a lot of people, we also interviewed video doorbell users.
Mm-hmm.
And they were motivated oftentimes to purchase the doorbell for safety, which of course makes sense. Everyone wants to feel safe in their home.
Right.
But in practice, right, when we're asking, well, like, how do you use this technology day to day? What are you doing with it, et cetera? They're really using it to monitor, instruct, and punish delivery drivers and workers on their property.
Punish them how?
So for the punishing, there were a lot of cases of customers who were disciplining drivers in various ways. So this can include reporting them to retailers, which, as we mentioned briefly before, because a lot of these delivery drivers are gig workers, and it's very easy for them to just be deactivated and lose their job completely because Amazon kind of sees them as just cogs in the machine, and they can find, you know, a million additional ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes also law enforcement. Again, if they think, we just talked about this as well, if a customer suspects, you know, they might have stolen a package or thrown the package, et cetera. And also, I think that we've also seen a rise in posting delivery drivers online to kind of shame or embarrass them.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, if the customer feels a driver has misbehaved or not acted in accordance with their idea of what, you know, good customer service looks like, they're feeling empowered to take this action. And the doorbell camera makes it a lot easier to do this, right? Because you have it on your phone right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is a delivery driver to do then in that case? I mean, as you said, there are reasons and justifications for having a Ring doorbell. You know, true confessions, we're about to put one on our house. there have been a lot of break-ins lately. But You know, so what is a driver? What kind of defense does a driver have? We were talking to Dashwan about unionizing, and it's easier to say, well, here's what we need to do about health care, and here's what we need to do about bathroom stops. What do you do about the Ring doorbell problem?
Yeah, I mean, so the drivers we spoke with, I mean, as a whole, they feel pretty uncomfortable about the cameras, and especially about instances in which footage is shared online about them, because again, it's shared without their consent. It feels understandably like an invasion of privacy. Mm-hmm. And I think the drivers specifically, I mean, they are performing to the camera at the doorstep, which is also very interesting. A lot of drivers described like waving to the camera, you know, saying things like have a good day. There was one woman we spoke to who tripped and like the package dropped onto the ground. And she said she picked it up and immediately was like, said to the camera, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to throw that. I tripped. I dropped it, because she was, of course, worried that they would think she threw the package and then it would be a problem for her. So right. A lot of the drivers described changing their body language and doing things like that. I think, honestly, as customers, maybe I don't know if I can sway you to not install your doorbell camera, but even just thinking about things like maybe turning your notifications off during the day, you know, and only turning them on at night. Or, you know, I know there's, I get all these emails about like Cyber Monday deals and holiday deals on video doorbell cameras. But yeah, just thinking about ways in which you can try to make sure that you're not surveilling this workforce, because it is easy to do when your phone is just, there's notification on notification popping up.
I tell you, at least in our household, if I move it to the bottom of the to-do list, it won't get done anyway. So I'll do that when I get home. Dashwan, we have been talking about and we do have Dashwan back. We've been talking about what the drivers face when they're delivering to homes with Ring doorbells, when they can be essentially under surveillance. Do you hear about that from the organizers you're working with?
A couple years ago, you know, the mostly in city, they're the building, the delivery workers can drop off the food on the lobby and tell the, you know, the doorman, this food is for which apartment, and they will write down the number on the bags. But right now, they have to talk with the doorman first. Mm-hmm. And the doorman will give a call to the customer. If the customer doesn't pick up the call, respond for the call, they have to wait until the customer get the call.
Mm.
Respond for that. You know, there will take the most time. I have a driver told me he have been waiting 2 hours for the customer because of the customer was asleep.
I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the absurdity of it. It's absurd. And let me ask you about this, Dashwan. We're seeing more organizing. Let's go over to Chicago for this. In August, 7 driver groups came together. They created the Illinois chapter of Justice for App Workers. That brings 20,000 more workers into the coalition. So tell us more about, with the app workers, what that brings to the picture is to expand to yet another area. And if you know, what's happening with that in Chicago right now?
So Chicago, you know, we have doing the same the organization things at Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like the Chicago have another, you know, Justice for App Workers Chicago. So we are doing the same thing, is helping the Uber, the rideshare drivers and the delivery workers with in Chicago, because they also have very big business, you know, have a lot of delivery workers and the rideshare drivers in Chicago. So we are trying to, you know, to share our experience with Chicago, and we can do same thing, like we can build a better, the better life for the drivers and the delivery workers. So we gonna put doing the same thing in Chicago, and they build you know, we want to become a union and share the union rights with all the workers doing same thing, like the delivery workers and rideshare drivers, and we want they have the rights they should have in the whole United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you talk about, Eve, I'm going to get to you in just a minute. I just want to stay with Dr. Chuan because he's talking about organizing. And I think the hardest thing there at Dr. Chuan is people who are just afraid to organize. They're already living very close to the edge. They don't want to be told by Uber Eats or Amazon or whoever, you can't work for us anymore. So the people who are organizing, they are dealing with a lot of fear, aren't they?
So that's the, you know, they're afraid of the, actually should be the company, not the union things, because the union is protector. Is helping the drivers. So if you do, you don't have the drivers working for the company, nobody will deliver it for me. Not the owner, the CEO of the Uber is he won't deliver it for you, right? So mm-hmm. if you don't have our delivery workers, the company will die. So we are fighting with our union. So we are fighting for the union rights because of we need somebody to protect us, to protect us on the we are working, we are our safety, our, you know, our rights. It's not, you know, they are free because of the companies will charging more money from the customers.
Yes,
they're freeing about the companies, not freeing about the delivery workers.
Mm-hmm.
So our rights, you know, yeah.
Let me bring Eve in here. I know you've got a couple thoughts you've been holding on to. Eve?
Hi.
I know you've been holding a couple thoughts on those last two points we discussed, so please dive right in.
No, I think that was, I didn't have anything else to add.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. I just want to move in then to something else that you have researched and written about, and that's tip theft. There's an app called Para, and it gives workers a snapshot of how much in tips the driver can expect from a given job. It's been downloaded more than 250,000 times, and the drivers can check it before they accept a job. You reported on datascience.net that DoorDash rewrote its code to block the app. Are other companies following suit on that?
Yeah, so Para, obviously, I think it speaks to how important it is for drivers to have access to this mm-hmm. information by just like the rate at which this app was downloaded mm-hmm. by drivers. And then of course, because, you know, the code was rewritten, they were unable to access that anymore. And we definitely see that specifically like instances of tip theft with other platform companies as well. I think kind of the focus of that article that I wrote was going back to Amazon Flex drivers. In May of 2019, the Federal Trade Commission actually launched an investigation after discovering that Amazon was secretly using customer tips to subsidize delivery labor costs. Mm. So, you know, despite promising that drivers, they would receive kind of the standard base pay and 100% of customer tips, instead, it was using these tips to kind of reach the minimum base pay. So effectively cutting their labor costs. And they didn't notify drivers or customers of this practice. Mm. And I think one thing that was astounding to me is that this actually began in late 2016 and it lasted for 2.5 years, 2.5 years of like tip theft. Mm. And of course, eventually the drivers started noticing lower tips and they were sending messages to Amazon. And Amazon was responding with kind of this canned line that, quote, drivers were receiving 100% of customer tips. Which again was like true, but it was, they were using it to subsidize to get to base pay.
Right.
They weren't told. So yeah. And I think what's interesting is, you know, one of the things that I talk about in the article is just that elements of being algorithmically managed, right? And having everything about your job be controlled by this app, right? It mm-hmm. helps to kind of hide and likely prolong these and allow these companies to steal tips. Because again, it's like there are no humans to turn to talk about this.
Right.
You know, there's in the Flex app, and I believe this is similar to other delivery apps as well. There's a driver support line, which already, you know, drivers have to wait for 10 minutes to even contact someone. But you're only supposed to kind of call it, and it's only helpful when you need a gate code to get into, you know, a private housing complex. Or when there's some issue about delivering the actual package, you know, it's not helpful when you're like, my block ran over 30 minutes. Can I please get 30 more minutes of pay?
Right.
And a lot of our drivers, you know, They said that they could waste like 2 hours trying to get paid for an extra 30 minutes of driving. And so in doing kind of that cost benefit analysis, it just wasn't worth it for them.
Right. Dakshwan, let's talk about tip theft. And my intuition would be that the best thing a consumer can do is to tip in cash. Is that right?
Yes, because I want to say that because there, as I know, there have the companies. They said I will pay 100% the tips to the drivers, right? As I know, there have a I had a driver told me the stories when he delivery, and that guy is waiting the downstairs with waiting him, and he said I paid a $10 tips for you, right? But actually, when the driver see the after the order. He dropped off. He saw that he only got a $7.63. So where is that another $2, $2 and $30?
Right. And Eve just explained to us where that actually ended up. So I know that
And they,
go ahead, please.
I and I know there have also have companies. It's not the company you said that Uber is. It's a Chinese company. They do that. Whatever, how far you delivery, they only accept the $2 from the customers. If the customer pay for the order more than 15, and the total $2 will be free. The company gonna pay for totally one order at $8, whatever how much tips you paid.
I know that some of the workers are worried about being deactivated if they complain. Can you explain, Dakshwan, what deactivating is?
You know, the account from the company is very important for the drivers because that is the only way they can have the they can accept the trips or the orders from the companies, right? And for if the bikers, these delivery workers be deactivate the account, they cannot make money through this company. So that one is very important. But right now, they have a very big, huge problem is for example, like Uber Eats, they accept the whatever, how many unlimited drivers. So how many drivers? What you have like whatever the driver's number you have the how many? I will accept the how many. But if only one time I got the complaints, I will get it deactivated. That is unfair. Right, they only listen to the customers. Even I didn't write the customers. Sometimes I know the customers if they complain with the this order, they can get all the full amount of refund. So they can that means they can get a free meal, but my account will be deactivated from by this company. That means I lost a way to make money. Yeah.
Eve, go ahead.
So.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, adding on again, I sound like a broken record here because I'm only talking about Amazon Flex. But yeah, the deactivation, as was just said, it's really like the gig equivalent of firing. And at least for Flex drivers, it's based on ratings, right? And so what's interesting is there are these like four rating classifications, right? Fantastic, great, fair, and then at risk. And they're reported across five different areas. And what's interesting is that scores for each of the categories are based on a combination of both data collected from the Flex app. So, say when a driver checks in for their shift and the timestamps that are associated with when they mark a package is delivered at the home, but then also customer reviews. So, Amazon customers can complete, a review after a delivery. And so, the Flex app combines these categories into a single score, which is called your standing, which summarizes the driver's status. And then again, will tell you whether you're fantastic or at risk. And the standing is what determines if you get kicked off the app. And what was really remarkable for me was that none of the drivers we spoke to like knew how long you had to stay at risk before getting kicked off, or like what the specific things that you had to do were to move from one category to the next. And so there was just like a complete lack of transparency there around the rating systems and like what you did or didn't have to do to make sure that you kept the gig. And I think also, it's clear that these ratings don't don't account for circumstances that are beyond a worker's control. And what's more, they're frequently incorrect, or they inappropriately dock a worker for extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I want to stay with you, Eve, because I want to ask you about public perception of the drivers. And I know you've worked primarily with Amazon Flex. I'm going to take a good hearty guess that what I'm about to ask you applies to a lot of drivers in a lot of different apps. You wrote a book review. This was for publicbooks.org, and this was for a book called Temporary. But within that review, you said it's taken a pandemic for there to be widespread recognition that grocery store clerks, delivery drivers, and health aides of all stripes are critical to society's survival. The book Temporary captures the demands and dangers of precarious work in a world where workers are somehow both essential and expendable. In a moment where we are simultaneously hailing temporary and precarious workers as heroes, yet continuing to endanger and devalue them. And that's what surfaced, this is me talking now as opposed to quoting the book, that's what surfaced in the wake of the pandemic. We started to see that contradiction pretty quickly about, you know, these people are keeping us alive. These people are delivering the groceries, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, they were invisible as human beings. As the pandemic has progressed, are you seeing any change in that? Are we seeing some appreciation of app workers as real people with real problems?
I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, I think to your point, like, everyone was like leaving snacks out for drivers and delivery workers. And, you know, I think to a certain degree, we were all so thankful and gracious because they really kept the world turning during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But then I think, you know, things started to get a bit better. And suddenly it's back to like, where is my package? And you're throwing it. And, you know, I think I'm seeing, at least kind of monitoring a lot of the videos that have been shared, it's back to kind of the shaming of delivery drivers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I would encourage people to, I think that's also why I'm not super into the Ring doorbell cameras, because I think they just kind of oftentimes encourage this boss behavior from customers. And I think that that's really harmful to the delivery drivers.
It is Big Brother-esque, isn't it? It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's also just the boom, the pandemic coupled with kind of the boom in e-commerce. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is kind of, the doorstep as this new contested space and this new kind of physical locale of consumption. And with that, right, there's no more retail associate, but the delivery driver has become the new face of retail because they're the ones you're interacting with.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask the same thing of Doug Schwan. Do you see any improvement with the work that you're doing organizing and with people hopefully starting to understand maybe they've got a brother out there delivering, maybe they have a cousin, maybe they've actually talked to an app worker? Are you seeing signs of hope out there, Doug Schwan, that things are changing for the better?
Yes, it is. But most of people still cannot understand that because there have people who using that. Maybe they have the family who working like the job by the through the app. But there have more people that doesn't know the detail about us. So as our JFO, our Justice for App Workers, gonna do is put our daily. What we are doing, our jobs, our faces, our, what we are doing every day to share that on the social media to let all the more people to know about us, to know about our job. So that is what we are doing right now.
I wish you the best of luck with that, Dr. Schwan. It's so important. Thank you for doing the work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Actually, this conversation, I should thank for because you let more people to know about us.
I'm glad. That's Doug Schwan Nye. He's a delivery driver in New York City. He's co-chair of the Expanding Justice for App Workers. Eve Zelikson, I want to thank you so much, too. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And Eve is a research analyst with the Social Instabilities in Labor Futures team at Data and Society. Thank you very much for tuning in to listen. Thanks to Bea Soul for producing today's show and to Kevin Vance for engineering today's show. If you have a topic idea or a guest idea, you can email us at yourcall@kalw.org. You can also tweet us those ideas at Your Call Radio. If you've missed a portion of this or any other of the Your Call shows, you can find them all online. Track them through kalw.org. I'm Angie Kerr, in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call.